Yes, friends, it's time for Let's Talk Mental Health. This local program discusses behavioral issues of concern to the North Shore community and resources to help. Let's Talk Mental Health is produced at the studios of KTWHLP in Two Harbors, Minnesota. Welcome, friends, to our August edition of Let's Talk Mental Health broadcast. Our topic this month is going to be how we might handle diversity within our family, values, politics, response to the pandemic, and more. And how is this potentially affecting our mental health? Our guest speaker this morning is Ronnie Horak, president of NAMI Duluth Board of Directors. And NAMI is the National Association of Mental Illness. Ronnie joined NAMI Duluth in August 2017. She is responsible for providing direction and leadership toward the achievement of the organization's mission. She brings years of experience in mental health and disability work of 26 years at Residential Services of Northeastern Minnesota, including mental health professional, licensed therapist, and clinical director. She received her BA from the College of St. Scholastica and a master's degree in clinical counseling from the University of Wisconsin-Superior. She was born and raised in Duluth, Minnesota, and continues to embrace the beautiful community of the Northland. Currently, she works as a licensed clinical therapist for a local mental health agency where she embraces unique person-centered therapy such as equine-assisted therapy, telehealth, and in-person sessions for all ages. NAMI Duluth is just one more avenue to advocate and help navigate mental wellness in education. Good morning, Ronnie. How are you?
Good morning. I am well. How are you?
I'm doing well, except for a little bit of a, as you can tell, a little sinus congestion affecting my voice and throat. But I'm going to count on you to do the majority of the talking this morning, and I'll just be a grateful listener, if that's okay.
That is just fine.
Can you tell me, is there anything else you'd like to add to your background that I just read?
No, I don't think so. I think you captured it. Thank you for that.
All right. Well, then let's go ahead and jump right into the topic matter. What might we be experiencing with our family, friends, public, in relation to today's topic of discussion?
Well, I think there's a variety of issues that we are experiencing overall. When it comes to this diversity, there is an overwhelming, or it could be a very overwhelming, feeling of division. And with that comes possibly some stress, angst, anxiety. Through moments where we're having family discussions and just, you know, differences, high emotions while having those discussions, or even with social media. Social media has been potentially a resource for division, extremist points of view and things like that. And I gather a sense from speaking with people, there's a real struggle in handling that and the stress that it's having on them.
When you described about social media, I'd just like to kind of piggyback on that for just a second. In your experience during the pandemic, have you seen or heard of people having an increased use of social media to make those personal connections?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Social media or technology-based platforms such as Zoom, Google Meets, and some of those things are incredible resources, and some of those things, depending on how you want to handle that, can be very stressful. And opening, you know, you're opening yourself up sometimes to that negativity, and then there's a heavy weight with that exposure sometimes. Just depends on the interaction. But yes, definitely an increase in our social media and technology platforms, good and bad in both.
Well, I appreciate that, and thank you very much. You had mentioned that there's a potential for the social media to be stressful. What are some examples of what we are going through in relation to the topic of the day with the values, politics, the response to the pandemic, and more?
Great question. And, you know, since March, we've been going through this since March, and some cases even earlier, depending on where you reside. But, you know, so nearly 6 months into this pandemic, and there's an enormous amount of controversial topics. And, you know, I started to list the things that were potentially controversial points entering our society, our family, our values, and just to list a few, you know, mask, no mask, school, distance learning, in class, daycare, no daycare, stay at home, essential versus non-essential, CDC, stimulus checks, cure vaccinations, you know, funeral, no funeral, is this a conspiracy, non-conspiracy? There's just so many things that are out there, so many topics that are out there being discussed. And then you throw a presidential election year on top of that, and then that comes voting, different people's safety plans, protests, healthy protests, defundings. There's just so many things that are out on social media or just conversations about. And those can take a very large toll on our minds and our stress, anxiety, so many emotions.
With the list that you just gave, which is very comprehensive and absolutely up to date, it seems like there may be a possibility that we could potentially be exposed to or experiencing an overload of our capabilities to handle all this and reach kind of a pressure point. Is that in line with what you're seeing and hearing?
Very much in line with what I'm seeing and hearing. And, you know, that diversity and that division, the emotions, whether or not there's been attacks on you know, opinions or, you know, freedom of desiring to speak and dismissal or many of those just dysregulations with our emotions. And they can be overwhelming and hard to bear and hard to let go of. And especially maybe when it hits a little closer, if it's, you know, with family members, and do we have the capability to handle that load of emotion? And that gets alarming for some.
Thank you. Our program deals with mental health issues that affect individuals, principally here on the North Shore, but you've pretty well made it an equal playing field. It affects everybody. How are these diverse moments potentially affecting our mental health during this pandemic?
Right. So, you know, we have been through a lot during a very short period of time. We tolerate stress differently, and the long-term stress and the impact of stress is different for all of us. But our ability to cope with that unhealthy stress or overwhelming amount of stress can be debilitating. It can really start to affect our mental health, our physical health, our sleep patterns, our emotions, our ability to react maybe more calmly. You know, when you're experiencing stress and anxiety and anger, frustration, division, bullying, name calling, you know, disconnect, discord, frustration, lack of control, unpredictability, all of those things over long term of trying to manage those emotions can be very difficult. And we can try to manage those with great success, or they can really take a toll on our emotional health.
When you talk about the tolls on the emotional health, would we be talking about an acute type of toll or possibly long-term, chronic, or both? And could these manifest into other different types of mental health-related issues?
Great question. And, you know, long-term stress, there's a profound amount of data that indicates that long-term stress and the effects that it has on your physical health and well-being, heart disease, anxiety, all of those things come into play when you are attempting to manage that long-term stress and emotions that are affected, and depression, anxiety, physical conditions. You may try to recover from some of that stress and adapt unhealthy habits in managing that stress as well. So there's another avenue that we could certainly go down, is to how are you going to manage that stress? How are you going to manage those difficulties and try to regulate those emotions instead of staying dysregulated or under a great amount of stress for a long period of time? So what are the tools that you're putting in place to manage that? And so, yes, long-term stress can lead to a lot of different areas of physical health concerns, mental health concerns with that stress, anxiety, sleeping, eating, drinking. Some of the things that you may think are tools to manage our dysregulation may not be the healthiest for us either.
With your vast experience as a professional in the field, you had mentioned how there are some ways to deal with it. You had mentioned tools. Do you have some tips and tools that you can share with us?
I do. I think of several tools, you know, something that I, in the conversations that we're having with people or the exchange that we're having with people, you know, sometimes I recommend agreeing to hold some space for diversity and acceptance of other people's views. Just hold that space instead of, let's say, knee-jerk reaction to what they're saying. Just hold the space for somebody to have their voice, somebody to have some space for their view to be heard. And just to hold that healthy space for someone to speak without having to always interject. And those are just communication skills that can be really challenging during this time, especially if we have opinions and we want to state that back. But just allowing to and agree to hold that safe space for someone to speak freely without judged or retaliated against. Agree to hold a space for all family members to have their own perspectives. Sometimes we just have to agree to disagree. So there are a lot of agreement tools or communication tools that can be put into place. And they sound very simple, but they're not very easy to do sometimes, especially when our emotions are involved. It's hard to hold a space for somebody to speak. But if we can just concentrate on that for a little while and just agree to hold that healthy and safe place for people to talk without rebelling, retaliating, whatever words you want to put on that, but and not the knee-jerk to respond so quickly, just to hear people. And sometimes we've had to make agreements just to manage our differences. Like I said, agree to disagree and agree to listen without judging or condemning, harassing, name-calling, demeaning, any of those things. Just really trying to have healthy, open conversations. And sometimes another tool is just agree to not discuss. So agreements such as today when we are together, we're not going to talk politics. We're not going to talk COVID. We're not going to talk pandemic. We're just going to enjoy this time together. So sometimes it's a great tool to just agree to not discuss some of those hot button topics. And just thinking, you know, can we find a happy medium in balancing that? It doesn't have to be an all or nothing extreme. And those are just some communication tools that I think if you just try to hold that space, not respond so quickly, and just have it a safe conversation, draw a time limit or no politics or no pandemic, no COVID talk, some of those things can help. And another tool is setting a time limit. You know, if the discussion needs to happen or it seems to continue to happen, then to say, you know, we've been talking about this for a while. Can we now just limit the rest of this conversation? Can we wrap it up in 5 minutes? We'll allow 5 more minutes for this conversation. And then after that, we're going to proceed forward. Those are just some tools that I think would come in handy for people as they apply.
Well, that's what we have the purpose of the broadcast here for, is to provide tools and resources for people to deal with mental health issues. And you highlighted the fact dealing with family can at times be the most difficult. I was kind of grinning while you were talking about setting some agreements as to what to talk about, what not to talk about, time limits. And I'm a military veteran, and we used to call those ROEs, rules of engagement. And I can see the benefit of those now, even in a family environment. So thank you very much for that. And then we come down to another heart of the issue, which is why this topic, why now, and why this topic in conjunction with our mental health?
And I mentioned earlier just how much we have been through in such a short period of time, and I could have went on with the list. I started, you know, typing up a list of all of the things that we've encountered since the pandemic started, and I didn't even mention quarantining and loss of social connections or loss due to death via COVID, loss because potentially there wasn't a funeral or a celebration of life. If you just spend some time thinking about everything that we potentially have encountered in such a very brief time. I know some feel like this has been going on forever, and you know, it's been a very short time, and the amount of things that we are digesting and taking in and trying to manage and trying to regulate are potentially extremely overwhelming for our mental health. And they can become very stressful and very difficult, especially if you've lost somebody through this time or you can't see your family members. You know, some of the coping mechanisms that we have previously, like pre-pandemic, used, they may not be available we may not be able to see those that we've really been able to rely on, and vice versa. So there's just so much involved in this. And so our ability to cope and find solutions and resolutions in a healthy manner may not be as easy as it was pre-pandemic. We may be faced with challenges that are very new to us, and I can certainly speak for myself. There's a lot of things that, you know, I've had to stop and think, how do I overcome that? How do I find a solution for this? Fear is involved, such an incredible amount of fears. So why this topic and why our mental health? Those are just a few things that could really be affecting our emotional health and well-being. And so, you know, taking a moment to determine, you know, if any of these topics that we've discussed have had an impact on you, and how you and your family are managing that or helping families manage that in a positive way, and asking ourselves some of these questions that, can I be the one to determine how these conversations go? Can I be the one to express that these conversations are not healthy? That those resolutions, those solutions will hopefully help our stress and anxiety or fear, and finding solutions to those problems. I personally want to be a part of solutions. I'm a solution-focused person. So if faced with difficulty, what are the solutions? What are we going to find to put in place to overcome those obstacles? And so it does relate profoundly to our mental health. Just if you think, just on the brink of stress, anxiety, sleep, sadness, depression, loss, lack of average routine or baseline routines, those things that are very important to us or keep us healthy may not necessarily be very easy to navigate right now.
I would think that what you have described covers such a wide area of different subject matter and how it affects us that most people would be able to identify themselves as having experienced that same type of reaction or feeling. And at this time, wondering where we're going to go, even between now and the end of the year. So where do we go from here then?
That is a great question. I think taking a moment, I'd encourage people to take a moment and think about the stressors that you're managing or trying to manage, and making those decisions as a family unit or whomever you're involved with those stressors, and really spending time to try to think of a solution. I know that there's a lot of unpredictability and feeling that there's a lack of normalcy or, you know, the future normal and what that may be like. And just allowing yourself some time to think about what you've been through, allowing yourself some grace with that, and coming up with a plan for success. So some families have come up with family plans. So one person does all the shopping. One person does this. Everybody's taking on different roles and managing that very successfully. Some families have come up with, we will sit out in the yard, we will sit farther apart, we will do this, yeah, whatever those plans are, but just taking some time to come up with those solutions. You can also tap into people that are trained to help find some solutions that work for you. There's a lot of mental health supports in the Duluth and surrounding area, Two Harbors, you know, where all of our communities are very close. And we have some incredible professionals who are there to support. We have professional resources online, telehealth. We have a lot of different platforms that are there to help. NAMI is offering online classes for free nearly every day. And so if people wanted to check those out, that's namimin.org. NAMI Duluth area is on Facebook. We have a website too, namiduluth.org. So there's just a lot of resources there to help. So if you're feeling like this is getting unhealthy and I don't know how to navigate that, there's people there to help. And tapping into those resources, I think, is very important during this time. If we had a toothache and we needed a root canal, we would be calling our dentist. So if you're having some emotional pains and angst and stress and anxiety and difficulties, then call upon those professionals that help. Get some resolutions in place.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate that, especially the listing of the resources. Here in Lake County, our own Lake County Health and Human Services has an online website, and part of that is a support services guide, which has a fairly in-depth and comprehensive mental health listing for available resources. Ronnie, we didn't talk about this before, but if you could, for the listening audience who may not be familiar with NAMI, could you just give a brief summary of what the role and mission of NAMI is?
The mission of NAMI has been to educate, support, break stigma related to mental illness. And breaking that stigma has been challenging, and the success has been great. This pandemic has posed a question as to has this pandemic really helped stigma? Because we have experienced so much stress and people have really gained a sense of anxiety. And so NAMI really wants to break the stigma, help educate and support mental health.
Thank you very much. The Lake County Mental Health Task Force looks forward to further collaborations with NAMI of Duluth. Want to thank you, Ronnie, for being with us this morning and for lending your expertise. And as a reminder, our guest speaker has been Ronnie Horak, president of NAMI Duluth Board of Directors and also a licensed clinical therapist. Thank you for being with us, and please have a great remainder of your weekend.
Thank you for having me, and you have a great weekend too, and stay healthy.
Thank you. Hi, this is Chris Belfield, your host of Let's Talk Mental Health, letting you know that we really appreciate your feedback. You can send emails directly to the station at ktwh.org, or the program also has its own email, and that is lcmhtf@gmail.com. Again, lcmhtf@gmail.com, and that stands for Lake County Mental Health Task Force. And that is the group under which this broadcast is being brought to you by. Additionally, there is the North Shore Mental Health Group in Silver Bay. They have a fantastic website. You need to check this out because they have daily encouragements, lots of resources available. And they also sponsor a peer support group called GLAD, and that's Group Living with Anxiety and Depression. And they are meeting online. For more information, again, go to that website. Speaking of websites, there is also the Northland Healthy Minds Organization out of Duluth. Again, a great website with lots of pertinent information and resource material for the local area. Speaking of the local area and our own Lake County, on the Lake County website, there is the Health and Human Services Support Guide. And in it, you will see a listing for mental health resources, 9 pages of local resources with lots of websites, phone numbers, and information that you can use. In the county, we also have the Human Development Center, again, accessible through Lake County website. And at our own Lakeview Hospital, they have mental health services being provided by a nurse practitioner. If you need it, look on their website. Finally, Lake County and Cook County have a cooperative agreement for an Arrowhead Emergency Services Chaplain Corps. These chaplains serve for our emergency responders, but also the community at large, and particularly at this time of the pandemic and some other challenging events, they've established a chaplain hotline. Hotline is for anyone to use, and it's available at 218-834-8504. Again, that's 218-834-8504. Until next time, for Let's Talk Mental Health, this is your host, Chris Belfield. Thanks for listening.